Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the Matrix shit. Let's go hook him up!
Says
I just whipped your ass.
It's time
to take it all away.
Oh,
I'm gonna drag you until I wear your Texas ass out
every day.
The game is
ours to play.
And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Over the Top Radio. I am your host, Ed, in San Antonio, and our review of the ROH New Japan pay-per-view will have to wait because it is currently going long and we are smack dab in the middle of the main event. And I'm joined by my co-host, Craig. What's going on, Craig?
Greetings and salutations, Edward. I hope you're enjoying the pay-per-view. It's been really good.
Very much so. And we have our other co-host who's not watching the pay-per-view. How are you doing, Katrina?
I am fine. I'm actually doing something Japanese this evening. I'm in the parking lot of my local IMAX, and I'm about to go see Godzilla in about 45 minutes.
I see. Thanks for cleaning that up for us.
I'm very excited. I have an erection.
There it is.
Well, I'm sure you do. But going back to the pay-per-view, it's been a great show. And like I say, we're smack dab in the main event. And right now, currently, the Rainmaker, Okada, is going on AJ Styles and Michael Elgin in the main event in a three-way for the IWGP Championship. And currently, AJ Styles just took one of the highest back body drops I've seen since Shawn Michaels way back in the day. And it's been a pretty decent match so far. What do you think, Craig?
Yeah, very good. I don't know where they're going. Obviously, they set it up as a three-way, so they didn't have to split up the points on who's ahead in the New Japan versus ROH thing. So I would imagine AJ is going to retain or put the title on Okada, one of the two. I don't see Elgin going home with it tonight, but it would be very cool. Don't get me wrong.
Okay, now speaking of are the announcers keeping up with the points? Because I got confused between the Red Dragon Young Bucks match because the Young Bucks were the ROH Tag Team Champions and wrestled for ROH. So was that technically
a New
Japan versus ROH, and ROH is now up two? Or
that's
that
a
not
great
a
question.
Team match and now ROH is up just one?
I guess that all depends on how you look at it. I guess it would have to be a win for ROH because we have new champions. So I guess that would be the way that should go. I guess it was a draw either way because it was ROH either way. I don't know.
Well, if it's ROH either way, then that's not fair. So I guess you can't count that match. So
I'm guessing that
match didn't count because right now, currently, ROH is winning. And if this match, if Okada or AJ Styles wins, that means New Japan wins this match. So it would be all tied up. That's what I'm assuming. But I said, I'm not totally sure they've – Matthew McGinnis and Kevin Kelly and Steve Corino have yet to make that clear.
Yes.
So, you know, knocks on them for that.
They have not been focusing on the quote-unquote point system for this evening, which is probably a good thing because I don't think it really matters.
Yeah. But right now, currently, your boy Michael Elgin is making a comeback and running wild. And that was an awesome spot right before we went on the air. Basically, he went to give Okada a suplex, and he was giving him the delayed suplex like the British Bulldog used to do. And then AJ kicked him in the stomach. It looked like he was going to drop Okada. He's actually currently got AJ and Okada in a fucking, I don't even know what to describe it, but he just fucking slammed both of them. And Michael Elgin is a freaking nature. Like I say, he had the superplex, got kicked in the stomach, looked like he was going to lower Okada, stopped halfway, picked him back up. AJ kicked him in the stomach again. He looked like he was going to lower Okada, stopped, and then jerked him all the way back up again before AJ had to take out his leg and caused Elgin to deliver the brainbuster to Okada. And, yeah, he's putting on a show. He looks like he's hurt his leg a little bit, but, yeah, he's looked great so far.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So we only have Contreras for about 45 minutes. Let's.
We actually have a call on the line if Ed wants to take it.
We have what?
A caller?
Yeah, I guess that's fine. I'm not looking at the switchboard, so you're going to have to be in charge of that.
Okay. Area code 321, you're on the air. Who's this?
Hello?
Hello, caller?
All right,
okay, on. Well, I guess they're not there, Katrina, so just go ahead and cut them off, and they can call back later.
You fail.
I'm pretty sorry, but live programming, everybody.
Yeah. But,
and taking a call so long, I didn't know what I was doing. I don't know.
So who are you going to see Godzilla with, Katrina?
A couple of friends will meet me out here, so.
So do they know that you're going to have an erection during this movie and they're fine with that?
Seriously.
Well, they probably have one too, so.
It's a wrestling podcast.
It's one of those kind of movies, then, okay. But,
this person is called back.
I got to say that the crowd also for the show has been awesome. It's I guess they're at, are they at the Hammerstein or is that they at the other one?
They're at the Hammerstein.
And the Hammerstein where... I was about to say we were last year, but you didn't go, so that's where I was last year. The ROH WrestleMania show, one of the most famous wrestling buildings in New York. And so
my feed is good. Been a good match
so far. Yeah, and Okada's got Elgin up for what is that? DVR. Oh, by the way, famous Japanese referee Tiger Tori is the referee, and he looks
about 80
years old.
Yeah, he was the referee in the finals of the Pat O'Connor National Tag Team Tournament at Starrcade 90.
Was he? I didn't remember that. What was the finals of that tournament? Wasn't it like Wyndham and Rose?
Oh, it was the Steiners against Muda and Saito.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I'm thinking of a different something else. But that was awesome. That's back when they were bringing all the Japanese people to wrestle the Steiner brothers.
Yeah.
Well, I guess he did now has the calf cutter on Michael Elgin. And let's see if Michael Elgin comes out here.
I actually had a question for Katrina. I remember an angle years ago. They were... The commentators were actually talking about Japanese photographers.
Mm-hmm.
You remember years ago they did an angle on television. They introduced this Japanese photographer, and by the end of the show, he was a bloody mess in the middle of the ring.
I want to say it's maybe Smoky Mountain.
No, it was NWA for sure.
Was it?
Yeah.
I'm trying to recall. I don't remember. I remember something in Smoky Mountain of NWA. No, actually, don't. You stumped me.
For sure. I thought for sure you would know.
Only one I remember was only one. Something like Smoky Mountain. I remember when Kevin Sullivan was spiking everybody in the head, and I think he spiked a photographer or something like that.
Mm-hmm. No.
But no, not in NWA. I don't remember. Well, leaving my Bloody Mess, that had been like in the early 90s or something like that, or the very late 80s.
This would have been late 80s for sure.
Hmm.
Yeah, anyway, we'll get back to that some other time. So I guess we should talk some news here. WWE had kind of a crazy week.
Sure.
Yeah, it's crazy. They made a lot of money, but then they lost a hell of a lot more.
Yeah, they announced a new television deal. Well, actually, much like the old television deal, everything's the same except a little bit more money going their way. And then all of a sudden, their stock plummets and drops and gets cut in half.
Yeah, Vince McMahon was a millionaire a couple of days ago, and he's no longer a billionaire.
Well, he was a billionaire. He's still a billionaire.
AJ, it just hit an offer of 450, but Elgin kicked out.
So, I guess I don't see what the big deal is. I mean, they signed a deal, but it looked like they were going to be actually making more money. And so, therefore, people got scared. Is that what I kind of got out of it?
No, basically, they kind of promised more. They promised they were going to, like, triple the rights. They promised they were going to have this much on the network, and they did not deliver. And even though that they went up something like $80, $90 million,
mm-hmm.
it's not what the people were expecting. So in their eyes, it's not good enough. And apparently the WWE is kind of like the joke of Wall Street right now, and they've lost some credibility. And, you know, they did good. They just didn't do awesome. And for that, that's why their stock has pretty much crashed, and it's gone back. I think it was like 10 or 11, but it actually had gone to single numbers. And
mm-hmm.
right before WrestleMania, I remember it was at $30. So
you're right.
People who are smart and have maybe like had it when it first came out and then sold at $30, they
mm-hmm.
made a nice little profit. But unfortunately,
sure.
it's either back to where they first bought it or lower, or you know what I mean? So it's going to take a while for it to rebound. The WWE is not in bad shape. I mean, yes, they don't have the 1.5 they need to break even on the network, but they'll get that as soon as they open it up to other countries. The network will be, at the very least, just break even. They don't need it to really make money. They just need to break even. And they're making a lot more money for a lot less TV, because a lot of that one or whatever it was that they had before also included main event and included Saturday Morning Slam. So now it's less hours of TV, but something like 80 or 90 million more. And AJ Styles just retained the IWGP championship by pinning Michael Elgin. And so I guess since the IWGP champion won, that means that Japanese won. So either ROH won by one match or it's an even draw. And maybe we'll find out eventually what happens.
Heck of a match. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, actually, this person has called back, so I'm going to try to call one more time.
Sure.
Thank you if we can. Okay. Area code 321, you're on the air. Who's this? They're gone.
It could be. Oh, Adam Cole was attacking. He attacked AJ Styles and he attacked Okada with his belt. And
there we go. There we go.
I guess continuing the feud. Now he's getting ready to hit Michael Elgin, I think. So we'll see what happens here. That one guy might just have been calling to listen, you know, and not wanting to be on the air.
Really?
People have done that before, actually.
Really? He doesn't have internet on his phone. Don't everybody get internet at all? You got to have internet on your phone these days?
I have no idea. These people are stupid.
That's great. Insult our callers and listeners. So I guess the next thing it looks like, next program will be Elgin versus Michael Cole. I would imagine
Michael
Elgin.
Cole, he's coming back?
I'm sorry, Adam Cole.
Well, he is undefeated at WrestleMania.
Yeah, that's true.
Very true.
Yeah. So, right. Couture, what do you think of the whole stock market thing?
I haven't said nothing about it. What do you think of that? I don't understand it, so I don't talk about it. It is
it's fair.
Beyond me. I defer to Dave Meltzer.
There you go.
When it comes to ratings and stocks and all that shit, just don't even talk to me.
They're showing a preview of a lot. I turned the sound off, but they're just showing a whole lot of Christopher Daniels.
Mm.
So I guess Christopher Daniels is coming back to ROH.
Great.
And the censor, oh, he's wearing a Hulkamania shirt, but he does have an apple martini with him.
That's right.
What team they letting these guys get away, but they re-sign, they make a big deal about signing Rockstar Spud to a long-term contract? I don't
You know, he was sitting there in a suit drinking his apple martini, and somebody else came up to him. He had a Hulkamania shirt. They kind of blocked that off at the censor, but you never saw the guy's head or face. I wonder if they're trying to make it sound seem like it's
Kazarian.
Kaz is going to show up in ROH with him, because apparently I think his contract's coming up soon too.
When is the live ROH pay per view? You know, when they come back to actual real pay per view? Is that next month?
June 22nd.
So it'll be like on my. Like DirecTV and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, June 22nd is the next show.
I will have to watch that.
Yeah, I think it'll be good. I was very pleased with the Ustream. I don't know why ROH didn't use them from the get-go.
Well, you know, they tried two different things, and both of them fucking blew up, so they're probably worried to do it a third time. I mean, that's a big risk. What if they would have gone to Ustream and they would have screwed up the third time? I mean,
you know, yeah, hard to say.
I can understand them being scared. I mean, they only did this because it was a New Japan thing, and you know, they kind of had to do that because that's what New Japan uses. But it did kind of, it went out twice on me, but all I had to do was refresh, and it's like, and one of them was during intermission, so it didn't even matter. But,
right.
One of them was right before, I think maybe Adam Cole Liger, but I just refreshed and started up, so it wasn't a problem or anything. But
yeah.
Good quality. I other than like those two little things, I mean, everything was fine. It never really buffered. I don't want to say skips around, but kind of just kind of choppy. Never like that. The announcers were a little quiet at times. Or
that's
might have just
been
Carino.
Though.
Yeah.
Was this American commentary?
What's that? Yeah, it was Kevin
was
Kelly, Steve Carino, and Matt McGinnis for half the show.
Was this in Japan or the States? Because I'm not, I don't know.
New York.
Did this have, New York? Okay. I just wonder.
Yeah, we were just talking about it,
except
the Hammerstein.
Sometimes I never could get into watching the stuff from Japan, because I like commentary to them on matches, you know, to kind of, especially when I don't know where, like, who the people are, and I know some people think that's stupid, but that's, you know, that's just the way I am, so, yeah.
It to me, it doesn't bother me, because they're so fucking enthusiastic that even though you don't know what they're saying, it kind of, like, it's still, I don't know, it's still kind of, I still get into the match because of them, because they're, it seems like they're doing a good job in Japanese, but, I mean, it doesn't bother me. Same thing when, in Mexico, I mean, if they're, like, real excited for it, it kind of makes it exciting, even though I don't know what they're saying. But, it doesn't bother me.
I think the only Japanese show I watched all of was, I think it was, like, 95, and, I guess a Super J Cup or something like that. It was, I think they had, like, a Rey Mysterio psychosis match in there. They was, like, 5-star match or something like that.
Yes. The match was so good that the fans were actually throwing money into the ring.
I remember I watched that on, I think I watched it on YouTube, and I thought that the sound was messed up because I couldn't hear anything. It was so silent.
Yeah, that's Japanese fans for you.
Yeah, they're weird. They can, like I say, it can be like you can hear crickets, but then at other times they do get pretty loud. So it's kind of weird.
Did anybody watch Legends House this week?
I haven't seen a new one. I've only seen half of the new one. I haven't seen. I haven't finished it.
Greg?
Sorry, what was that?
I said, have you watched Legends House this week?
I have not. I've only watched the first episode and went through in the towel.
I want to know who Tony Alice went to cook for. He went to the butcher or something, and Did you see this part, Ed? When he went,
I saw that part. They bought all that.
God Almighty!
You're from their part of the woods. Do you eat that shit?
I never stuck a pickled pig feet in my mouth. I thought that was just like an ornament at a convenience store. You know, kind of like flowers. You know, sitting on the counter at a convenience store. Or something.
Right, so that bucket of pickled pig feet.
I've eaten chitlins one time in my life. I've eaten chitlins one time in my life. And they're actually pretty good. They're just so damn greasy.
Yeah, but did you still like them after they showed Tony Allen slowly picking out the shit balls out?
Oh, my goodness.
No wonder
nobody likes it. And then Billy Jim told Jimmy Hart that they bought some sausages, and he told him it was bull penis. It's like Jimmy. A bull penis is being as big as your arm. that was funny.
Piper said he wouldn't eat no bull dick. And I think they went and took the mistake. I don't know who he thought was gonna eat all that shit. He bought it looked like he bought about 10 pounds of it. He's a weirdo, the Logan Atlas.
Well, he looked like he ate it all by himself, but that's about as far as I got was when they were kept cooking and eating all that shit.
So I've totally been out of the loop this week. I've had been busy for all different kinds of reasons, and I'll talk more about that in the future. But the only other news, major thing going on this week is, of course, Daniel Bryan had neck surgery. That was a success, and that was on Thursday?
Yeah, Thursday. I think they expect him out for 6 to 8 weeks.
6 to 8 weeks, he's going to miss the next pay-per-view, although the Shield and Evolution feud is going to more than make up for the main event. I've been wildly entertained by that program right now.
Daniel Bryan,
yeah,
it's been
pretty good.
This has got to be like the best worst year of his life, you know?
Right. Yeah.
And he gets the main event of WrestleMania. He wins. He gets married the next weekend. Comes back and his dad dies. And now this happens.
Yeah, don't forget the little kid.
Oh, yeah, that little kid. Did you see that video? Jesus Christ.
Goodness.
That broke me. I got a nephew named Connor, and I think I'm going to order him one of those T-shirts. Do you see those T-shirts?
Yeah.
Nephew named Connor. I think I'm going to order him one of those T-shirts.
Yeah, that video, I swear to God, I think every single person on my Facebook friends list and a lot on Twitter, too, basically, who's into wrestling, reposted that video. That video, I don't know if it technically went viral, but it went viral with all the wrestling fans.
When he told AJ Lee to stop with the craziness, I broke me right there.
I popped. That was awesome.
Yeah.
You only basically see this guy in the background, but you kind of get the feeling that I have the feeling that Big Show does a lot with these kids that they bring to the shows and stuff, because I just kind of like the way he was smiling at the kid. It's just, to me, it seems like he's one of the guys that probably goes out of his way to, you know, help take care of them.
And he's so big, they're probably always just amazed by him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But that was, yeah, that was yeah. like, that's one of the best things. I don't know, did they make it or did, I guess they did because there's so much of their footage,
yeah.
but.
Yeah, that was.
Yeah. Well, like, the reason I kind of was confused is because it starts off with, like, a news report. So it's like, wait a minute, is this something? But then, you know, they really did use too much of their footage for it to be any other but them. But, I mean, still a great thing. I mean, you know, you got to feel for the dad, but at least he's, like, his last memories with his kid are, like, happy ones, you know. So, you know, just, you know, you just, that was just incredible. I mean, you know, a lot of people get mad at the WWE for, like, you know, saying, you know, they kind of been pushing the Make-A-Wish things. But I don't know. I think they shouldn't, like, overly flaunt it, but I don't mind them pushing it. I mean, they do more for that company than anybody else. I mean,
John Cena's done, like,
no one's ever gonna beat John Cena's record and then throwing everybody else that does the Make-A-Wishes, you know.
Well, Jesse's done, like, I think he said the record of, like, 300, and we've heard of, what, maybe a handful. So.
Yeah, I mean, there's just no way anyone else ever come close, and he's still going strong.
My thought is that if he gets, like, publicity, to me it doesn't matter because something good's coming out of it, so I don't really care. So,
right.
I mean, somebody, it's not like, I mean, you can't tell me they don't, like, genuinely enjoy doing that stuff. I mean, how could you not? And I mean, being around kids like that and stuff like that. But I mean, you gotta enjoy it on some level. You know, being able to do something for a kid like that. So
good for them for all the
bad that they do and all the negative press. Them doing that. And them showing that they actually have a heart helped me help put a face on WWE that I didn't know that they had. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And they probably do a bunch of that stuff. I mean, we don't hear about a lot of it, so.
Yeah, which is good.
I'm not
actually.
Sure if it gets publicized. Sometimes the publicity comes from the organization itself, like the Make-A-Wish people. So, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
how do you know
they kind of want it out there because it helps with them collecting donations. You know,
yeah.
The Make-A-Wish does like to push and publicize the different people, you know, making a wish. You know what I'm saying?
It's kind of hard to get donations when you don't publicize something. Like,
yeah.
It's kind of like common sense.
Yeah.
I have a couple of notes from the Twitter universe right now.
Oh.
One thing I found absolutely amazing, Malo Ranallo, one of the MMA announcers, instead of watching Bellator fighting champion tonight, tweet after tweet after tweet about the Ring of Honor New Japan show. And also, from the Bellator show came a picture of one Diamond Dallas Page standing next to Dixie Carter from the show.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
She's probably doing yoga or something, right? She's in the yoga.
Yeah, well, on Twitter, I also saw a picture of that asshole James Brown and Court Bauer shooting me the finger, and highly offended by that, Court.
Well, I also, speaking of Dixie Carter, I actually sat through a full episode of Impact this week.
God bless you.
And I wish I hadn't. I usually watch it at a fast forward pace, and if I see something that catches my eye, I will watch it. But actually watched the whole thing live and uncut and unedited.
Okay.
And good Lord, what a bad show that is.
I don't know. I mean, I have it set on my DVR. Like, I got like the season pass and whatever. I haven't watched it in 6 months.
Yeah,
Exactly. I don't even have it set on my DVR. In fact, the only reason I know what the hell is going on TNA is when I listen to Brian and Vinny's show and Wrestling Observer Radio, and they go over the show. Mm-hmm. Other than that, maybe if I hear something about maybe Velvet Sky's nipples popping out or something like that, then maybe I'll go out of my way to watch it. But, you know, other than that, you know, I'll let other people do it for me.
I think the only reason I watch it like the TNA pay-per-view these days is because I just need something to do on a Sunday evening. So I got nothing else to do.
Am
I right?
Yeah. I mean, it might be that one night only women's one that they just did, but I have no idea when they're even going to show that.
Seriously?
I met Dixie Carter once. I tell you that. I met her
really?
At a Holiday Inn in Louisiana.
Really?
Not for sex.
She was. Thanks for clearing that up.
This was after. I think Design and Women was still on when she was on it, so you know, she was around that area. So I met her.
Hmm.
This isn't Dixie Carter.
You know that both Dixie Carters were hot old ladies.
Actually, you got a point.
I was just upset when the day that Dixie Carter from Designing Women died, I wasn't able to get to the board to post the thread. Dixie Carter's dead.
Well, Ed, it's 8 o'clock my time, 10 o'clock your time. The pay-per-view is done and over with. Shall we start a review of this show?
Sure. Do you have the matches in front of you?
Yes, sir, I do. You guys review it, and I'll jump in with any comments and bad remarks. So,
okay. And when you're done having the your bad remarks, you can just go into your theater and watch Godzilla.
Very excited.
Okay.
We got a record.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So the show opened up. We had the Bullet Club coming out to the ring. The New York fans rabid. Loud Bullet Club chants. You had AJ Styles, Carl Anderson, Doc Gallows, and so forth and so on. The Bullet Club in the ring. a super, super loud, insert the F word here, TNA chant from the crowd directed at AJ Styles.
Yeah, that would actually be pretty funny. And it's Steve Corino. What are they saying?
Yes. I had to reach over and plug my son's ears. He said that no one's a leader, but there are no followers in the Bullet Club. This brought out Okada and Jeddo.
You know, I disagree with him. Doc Gallows is a follower. He's no leader.
Okay.
Well, historically, he has been a follower if you follow his career.
Okada came out. Next thing you know, Michael Elgin is out, and they say, well, there's only one way that we can solve all this. We're going to make the main event, which was supposed to be AJ Styles and Michael Elgin. We're going to make it a three-way, and they added Okada to the main event. Fans were very happy, chanting yes. Match number one, we had Rocky Romero, Alex Kozlov, and... here we go. Watanabe. Thank you, sir. Watanabe.
Who looked like a very generic version of Tiger Chung Lee, basically.
It's fair, actually. So Watanabe,
he didn't actually impress me at all.
Okay. They wrestled Tommaso Ciampa, Matt Taven, and ACH. ACH is, he's a heck of a high flyer, I'll tell you what. Matt Taven has got some good moves, and I like Matt Taven, but he's absolutely missing just one thing, and I can't really put my finger on it. He's missing something. And with Tommaso Ciampa, everybody loves this guy, and I can't figure out why.
Well, I don't love him. He got sweat and stuff all over me in New Orleans.
Like you want to
very light.
Yeah, okay. anyway, I don't get the appeal of Tommaso. But anyway, they had a good match.
Dude, why don't you like Eric Stevens?
It's Tommaso Ciampa. It's a different color.
Oh, yeah, Eric Stevens has personality. That's right.
Yes. Anyway, they had a basic match. The crowd was very quiet at a lot of points. There was a huge
They were quiet
springboard.
When Watanabe was in there because they didn't know who the fuck this guy was.
Well, not to mention last week on the last ROH New Japan show, he was squashed by one Michael Elgin, basically.
Yeah, well, like I say, he didn't impress me too much. Kozlov and Romero, they're good. It was a decent match. The ROH guys ended up winning, which I figured they were going to end up winning that one. But I mean, it was nothing like the main highlight was ACH doing a springboard off the top rope into a flip, and he gets so high, he doesn't go very far, but he goes real high, which makes it look even more spectacular. Because I mean, those guys were like right there by the ring. It's not like he flew towards the crowd or to the aisle. I mean, he went straight in the air and straight down.
Yeah, from the ring to the barricade, it's probably a good 8 feet, and he just goes straight up, and there's a little bit of an arc, and he comes straight down, and he gets so incredibly high off of those springboard moves that he does. ACH is a heck of a high flyer. Anyway, Taven ended up pinning Watanabe. One more time on that pronunciation there, Eddie.
Watanabe. Gotta clear up the head of sight. Somebody's name. Something's wrong.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, Taven pinned him with a headlock DDT, basically. Dean Ambrose move.
Okay.
What?
Basically, used Dean Ambrose maneuver on him.
Oh, okay.
That headlock DDT?
Yeah. Next up, we had B.J. Whitmer and Roderick Strong versus Jeto and Gato. Those two guys.
Okay, well, first off, it should have been Roderick and Jimmy Jacobs because I just can't get into B.J. Whitmer.
Yeah. Jeto and Gato are easily...
Look, nothing like
the
they
lightest.
Did in their prime.
No, these are easily the lightest New Japan workers on the face of the earth. They've been tagging for 22 years, and they know what they're doing. They don't hit each other. They don't hit their opponents really hard like the other guys. I was watching them work, and they're very good. And how could they not be after 22 years in the ring together?
Yeah. They're still good. They can still work, but the thing is they're shells of what they once were. They're mm-hmm. probably both about 50 pounds, well, maybe not 50, but they're a lot smaller. They're both very skinny. They used to look almost like twins, kind of. Now they don't. They're awesome bookers. They can still work, but they are shells of what they once were. But it was still a good match, mainly when it was them against Roderick. Roderick's always good. And,
always good.
Roderick and BJ got the win, and an ROH went up too. And like I say, it should have been Jimmy Jacobs out there instead of BJ Whitmer.
I noticed this last week, and I was thinking about it. I have never seen Roderick Strong have a bad match.
Yeah, I've probably never seen him have a bad match, but I'm sure he has.
I'm sure he has, but I've never seen one. The kid is...
If he wrestled Ryan Ash, I'm sure that was a horrible match.
He's really good in the ring. And props to Roddy for that. Anyway, Roddy pinned...
He's also real stiff, too. He likes to chop the shit out of people.
Well, if you're drunk in a bar and you ask him to chop you, he will. Yeah. Anyway, Storm pinned Ghetto after a sick kick after... after BJ gave him a gut buster. And then
a lariat by Whitmer and led to this recount. It wasn't really much of a match. It wasn't bad. It wasn't great. But the New Japan guy is doing the job here. After the match, Cedric Alexander came down. He had his shoulder all taped up from the beating he received last week and attacked Strong and Whitmer, and it was broken up quickly by Jimmy Jacobs and their young boy. Next up, we had Jay Lethal versus Kushida. Is that even close?
Kushida.
Kind of like the stuff I put on my rice. Oh, wait, that's Yoshi. Anyway, good match. Lots of high-flying. Lethal hit. And it was funny because I remember when Tommaso Ciampa did this to or Jay Lethal did this to Tommaso and ended up in one Ed in San Antonio's lap just last month. And Jay Lethal went for his dives through the ropes. He just hit one, and the crowd was raring for him to go for more, but nope, he's a heel now, and he only did the one and teased the other one and basically, you know, flipped off the crowd because he wasn't going for another one. Kushida did it.
When the match started, they actually weren't doing pro wrestling. They were doing some kind of ballroom dancing with each other for a few minutes before the action really started taking off.
That's fair. That's fair. Where was I? Oh, yeah. Kushida did this amazing dive from the post to the floor, flip dive onto Lethal. Just absolutely ridiculous. Truth Martini got kicked out after pulling Todd Sinclair out of the ring. Let me see here. Who won this match? I can't even find it.
Jay Lethal won the match.
There it was. Lethal retained the title after a super kick and the lethal injection. And Carl Anderson and Doc Gallows, they wrestled the Briscoes for the IWGP tag team titles. I was surprised that the Briscoes did not get a bigger reaction.
I don't know why. And the announcers are trying to put them over as like, can you believe they're having a split chant here in New York? The Briscoes have always got a mixed reaction in New York. It goes back to when their dad teamed with them that one match, and people kind of like weren't totally behind them on that match. So it's not like this is something new in New York. It's not like the Briscoes are over pushed from New York, so some of the people in New York are going to not like them. So. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't shock me. I don't know why everyone was acting surprised.
This was not the best match of the night. I think that's fair to say.
But it was good.
Okay.
I mean, it was better than the first couple matches. That you got three awesome guys, and then you got another guy who just doesn't really belong. And, you know, he's just kind of boring. I mean, he's not bad, but he ain't as good as the other guys, and he's just nothing spectacular. And the match was pretty, I thought it was pretty good. The Briscoes are awesome, and Mark, you know, he's the Kung Fu master and and everything. But it was a decent match. I mean, Anderson makes up a little bit for Gallows.
So good.
But,
It wasn't bad, and
the IWGP champions won. The Briscoes did the job, and it was decent.
Doc gave Mark Briscoe this ridiculously high backdrop on the floor at one point. All Mark's fault. Just splatted on the pretty mats below. Machine Gun Carl Anderson is tremendous. I wouldn't surprised to see him get picked up. It's funny, too, because you got Carl Anderson, you got Doc Gallows. It's virtually like two brothers are in the ring. So similar. And then you watch them wrestle, because these guys have no relationship to each other at all. So, but, yeah, the
Doc and Anderson got the win. After the match, the Briscoes were hesitant to shake their hands, but they did. So maybe something with them down the road. Who knows?
Don't you think Mark looked like one of the chimpanzees from Planet of the Apes, the original one?
You remember he showed the banana splits?
No.
You don't remember the banana splits from when you were a child?
Nope.
Okay. Hanna-Barbera, nothing?
Well, anyway. Hanna-Barbera, that's a little different.
I feel like I should know what you're talking about, but I don't.
Yeah. Anyway, there was a show. It was called the Banana Splits, and these big puppet creatures had basically a television show where they showed like 10 minutes of other shows. There was a show on called Danger Island, and there was a boy on there. His name was Chongo, that they had found on the island, and Mark Briscoe is by far the closest thing to Chongo that I've ever seen.
It sounds like you're talking about Land of the Lost.
No, that's Chaka. Which
I'm looking at images of the banana splits on my Kindle here.
Yeah. You don't remember the banana splits? No, 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 no. No, nothing?
If I heard it, you'd probably ring a bell, but no, I really can't remember it.
Anyway. Okay. Nakamura wrestled Kevin Steen, non-title match.
Nakamura looks like the world's biggest douchebag.
Yeah, like not Batista level, but very close.
He looks fucking seedier than fucking Batista.
Kevin Steen and him had a really, really hard-hitting match. The crowd absolutely loved Kevin Steen. They hit each other really hard. Gosh, they just brutalized each other. Anyway, the finish was
They did have a good comedy spot where Nakamura has a guy in the down on the corner, and he starts like shaking and being all douchebaggy. And then Steen kind of like stops him and is like, "What are you doing?" And he's like, "Breathe, breathe." And that was funny. But it was a really, really good match. And Nakamura looks like after the match he goes and sticks a needle of heroin in his arm or something.
Okay.
That's how seedy he looks. I swear to God, he is the seediest looking fucking wrestler I ever seen.
The finish was Steen going for a package pile driver. Nakamura ended up flipping out of it, and he hit, I don't know the name of this move. I apologize.
Boombaya.
Okay. Boombaya off the middle rope. Steen kicked out, and then he immediately hit another one, and Nakamura got the pin. Steen lost not only this match, but he lost last week as well. And
about the Mania.
That's right. That's right. So Steen has lost a few matches in a row. Of course, he had the tryout match with WWE about a month and a half ago. So I don't know what's going on, but Kevin grabbed the mic after the match and said he was basically said he lost his smile. You know the routine. Some idiot in the crowd said, "You sold out."
No, he said, "Fuck you," or something.
Yeah, one fan chanted, "You sold out," and Kevin, anyway.
Damn you, making a living.
Okay. Yeah,
basically,
yeah, exactly.
he kind of gave the guy a hard time, and the whole audience started chanting, "Asshole," and he's "This is probably like the biggest accomplishment of your life. Yeah, three hundred, or whatever, calling you an asshole."
Yep, Steen said that 3,000 people are calling you an a-hole. Probably the biggest compliment you've ever gotten, he said. So, anyway, he said that for the last year he didn't feel like he belonged here. He said last week he lost to Adam Cole, and then this match.
two losses, he felt that that he needed to spend time with his family and take care of them. Fans chanted no. Steve said, that's a great catchphrase, but it won't change my mind. He was saying goodbye. And then one, Silas Young, interrupted him. And Young said, Silas said, I agree with the fans. No, no, no. We've got a world champion who looked like a ladyboy. He called him a PP word. And Devin Steen, I lost my place and I lost my – forgive me.
Well, basically, Simon Stone ended up calling him
Thank you.
Pussy, and they started fighting. And it was a big pull apart. And then it ended with, like, they had the big pull apart. They're kind of outside. Everyone's around Silas. And Steen does the running, like, a backflip off the apron to the crowd. But Silas had backed away. So Steen took out all the people who broke up the fight. But Silas Young was still standing and just slowly walked away.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I apologize. I'm reading off my iPad because I was watching the show on my iPad and then air streaming it to my television. So I couldn't run my computer and my iPad at the same time with the internet. So anyway,
I'm gonna go ahead and ruin. Okay.
Okay. Cool, man.
Okay. I'll talk to you guys next week.
Yeah. Take care. Bye. We had an intermission, and as soon as the intermission hit, I don't know what happened, but apparently from reading Twitter, everything cut out at once. Mine cut out, yours cut out, Alex Goss cut out. And as I was doing some other things around the house, I came back, refreshed it, and on my screen is Michael Elgin wrestling AJ Styles. So I'm like, oh, crap, they started the main event. Not realizing that, in fact, it had been changed to a three-way. So please forgive my stupidity.
I'm sorry. I have breaking news that I have to throw in
here.
Apparently, Tito Ortiz just steamrolled the Bellator middleweight champion.
Say what?
Tito Ortiz just fucking won his match against the Bellator middleweight champion.
Oh, my gosh. That is breaking news.
Yeah, he actually won. I can't believe it.
Well, there you go. So anyway, they came back after about 20 minutes of an intermission, and we had Tanahashi versus Michael Bennett. Bennett had a shirt on that read, "Eat, sleep, beat Tanahashi, repeat." I popped for that. Of course, last week...
And then Maria is... skimping on new outfits and is reusing the outfit she wore at New Orleans. Yeah. And I know this because I think I got like 100 close-ups of her ass at that show. And it was the same shorts.
So Tanahashi's really great. Michael Bennett is pretty darn good. Of course, last week we had the incident where Michael Bennett speared Maria. So you knew that was going to come back up this week. Getting to the point of it, Tanahashi won a pretty good match with the high fly flow. At one point, he had actually hit one to the outside, which was absolutely tremendous. More of a crossbody, but anyway, there was a point where Bennett had Maria up on the apron. She was distracting Tanahashi. Bennett hit the ropes, running at Tanahashi. Tanahashi moved, and he bumped Maria off the ring apron. I don't know where they're going with this, if it's in storyline or whatever, but looks like there might be some tension between Maria and Bennett.
They didn't look like they had any tension tonight at all, even though he did hit her once. But she did also receive the Texas cloverleaf during the match from Tanahashi.
Yes.
And it was a really good match, and it showed that Tanahashi can also work American style because that was an American style match.
Totally.
You know.
Yeah, good match. I mean, it wasn't anything blow away or anything like that, but it was a very good match.
We then had what I thought was the match of the night. And the Young Bucks versus Red Dragon, Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish. Filthy Tom Lawler from UFC fame was in their corner. I thought that was pretty awesome.
I thought for sure the Red Dragon was going to lose because it's from just bad luck because, you know, Tom Lawler, you know,
yeah,
he loses a lot. So I thought he'd rub off on him.
This it was cool because Tom actually had had them come down. They get into the ring, and Tom unrolls this banner, this UFC-style MMA banner with sponsors and Red Dragon on the banner, and he draped it on the ropes. I thought that was a nice touch.
And then he had, like, the kit that the second has, of, like, the ice bags,
yeah,
and all this stuff.
That
he
was
actually
pretty tremendous.
Was pretty good. And he actually got involved at one point where he distracted one of the Young Bucks, and they crushed themselves on the ropes.
Yeah, and before that, Tom was getting into the ring, and one of the Bucks kicked the rope on Tom Lawler. So they're both selling a groin injury, for lack of a better term. Super creative spots, lots of double teams. The Bucks are absolutely tremendous. My son's new favorite tag team, by the way. You watched them last week in the match with the Time Splitters and Briscoes last week. Anyway,
I didn't see it.
Yeah, it was great. That was a great match as well. But they did a spot. And I'm going to do my best to explain this. They picked up Kyle O'Reilly. Or no, they picked up Bobby Fish. And it was like they're going for the they were on each side of him like almost like a press slam. They picked him up above their shoulders. At this point, Kyle O'Reilly ran in. Fish's legs draped over Kyle O'Reilly's shoulders, and they let go of Bobby Fish. So now you have Kyle O'Reilly holding Bobby Fish in a tombstone position, and then from there they did sweet shin music to Kyle O'Reilly, and he dropped to his knees, giving his own partner a tombstone powder. It was tremendous. I lost my mind. It was so awesome.
Yeah, and then after he did the tombstone, then they gave him a double super kick to the face. And
yeah.
I kind of thought that was the end of the match myself there for a minute.
Tremendous. Lots of flip dives, lots of outside of the ring, 450s, you name it. Super kick party was in effect.
And then Steve Corino every time, super kick.
Yeah, yeah. They went for more bang for your buck on O'Reilly. O'Reilly ended up getting his knees up for Nick. And then as Matt was coming down, he repositioned himself on the mat to where Matt fell straight into the triangle lock. Nick went over to break it up, but Bobby Fish caught him in a submission hold of his own, and the Young Bucks tapped out in the middle of the ring. Awesome match. Just tremendous.
Every time I see Red Dragon, they have one hell of a match. They're just awesome. And this match is kind of funny because it's not they're both heel tag teams. Yeah, I guess maybe the Bucks are working a little more kind of faces. I don't know. It's kind of hard to tell, but it was a really good match. Bobby Fish, he reminds me of that one fighter. I forget his real name, but his nickname is Uncle Creepy.
McCall. Tom McCall?
Yeah, Ian McCall. Right. Ian McCall. He kind of reminds me of him. Bobby Fish also looks very douchebaggy.
Yeah.
And then O'Reilly looks like he's like, 16 years old?
Oddly enough, he started up here. I saw him in a match for Pinnacle. It was a six-man tag. There was Jack Evans was involved. I want to say Cole Cabana actually came in for the show as well, that they had an absolutely tremendous six-man that I saw with Kyle O'Reilly up here in a junkyard and for Pinnacle Wrestling. So
was that featuring with Davey Richards, of course, and then just has improved hundredfold since then. We then had an amazing video of 25 years of Jushin Thunder Liger. The amazing Japanese music, the bad 80s style graphics, awesome. Which led to...
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Which led to Adam Cole versus Jushin Thunder Liger. I was not overly impressed with Mr. Liger last week. He didn't do a lot. And then I realized he is, in fact, over 50 years old.
He's like 59. No, he's 49, I think.
Yeah, 49. That's it. There was a young fan. I'm guessing he's young. Probably not, though. Dressed exactly like Liger. I mean, the bodysuit, the mask, the horns, the hair, just absolutely tremendous. Sitting in the front row. Crowd was super hot for it. At the beginning, Liger worked really hard. It says by this writer, doing way more than he usually does. Cole won clean by faking a kick to the head, but instead kicking the knee and using the figure four leg lock. There you go.
Going back to my breaking story earlier about Tito winning Bellator, people are now trying to claim it's the work, including Brian Stan, kind of, in a way. Let's see. Brian, let me read what he put here. As fighters, you are on your own. Decide what is best for your career. Don't be told by managers, promoters, anyone. Flamenco deserved better. Also, front row Brian is claiming it was a total work. And he says, let's see, front row Brian, it was so fake. He gives up a takedown and just gives the choke to Tito. 2,000% work, only has a $3 bill.
That doesn't bode well for Bellator, if in fact it is true.
Yeah.
Well, that's dumb. And this brings us to the main event. We had AJ Styles versus Okada versus Michael Elgin. And I'm going to be honest with you. I have to defer to you. We came on the air as soon as this was going on. And I had the worst reception of this. And I didn't see much of this match. But what I did see was very
good. Well, I pretty much see a commentary during the match as it was going on all the way to the finish and who won. It's not my fault you weren't paying attention.
I'm going to go back
basically,
to my original story.
It was a very good match.
Yes, it was a very good
it
match.
It was a really good match. I mean, Elgin was real impressive doing all his power spots. I don't think he's familiar with Okada because he kind of cut Okada off on one of his spots, kind of like where Okada will back the guy into the ropes. He'll kind of gently tap him on the chest a little bit, like, and give the fair break back up, and then he throws his arms out like Randy Orton, and as he was throwing his arms up, Elgin kind of like engaged him again and didn't let him get his full spot in. So Elgin kind of threw that spot. But as far as everything else, it was a good match. AJ ended up winning. So I guess since he's IWGP champion, he either tied it up or ROH won by 1 point. I'm still not clear. No one said anything on Twitter about that. So I'm
it's a non-issue.
Still lost.
I'm pretty sure it's a non-issue, but what do I know? Yeah, so I'm going to have to go back and rewatch this. I was distracted. Like I said, the one good thing about Apple TV is you can Airstream from your, you know, device, even your phone. The bad thing is you have to close the window to refresh it. So I'm sitting here watching this thing that keeps flipping and refreshing and flipping and refreshing and then chattering and then, oh, my goodness. So I will go back and rewatch this in a little bit. But another good pay-per-view. Nice. You still there?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry about that.
really cool having these New Japan ROH pay-per-views the last 2 weeks. Really enjoyed both of them. And at $15, you just can't go wrong. The Ustream works like a champ most of the time. Just a really great show. I thought last week's was a little bit better, but all in all, I thought it was a big thumbs up and good for these guys. I hope we see more of this in the future.
Yeah, it was. I didn't see the one last week, but this one was a good one. I'm sure it'll be topped by next Friday's iPay-per-view of the Shine. The Shine pay-per-view will be better, but it was a good pay-per-view. Unfortunately, they do their shows in this little bar. It's not very big, so they can't actually have a double cage, but they're essentially doing a War Games match next week on the Shine pay-per-view, so that's going to be awesome.
Very interesting. Cool. Yeah, so that was the ROH New Japan Pro Wrestling War of Worlds pay-per-view from tonight. Apologize for the bad enunciation of Japanese wrestlers. I'm American. Sorry.
When me, the person who screws up, who always calls Mikey Whipwreck Mickey and Tully Blanchard Telly, and I'm having to correct you on Japanese names, that's pretty bad, Craig.
Well, I've never been good with the Japanese names. I don't screw up American names, so.
Also, now, I'm going to bring up a subject that's going to make you kind of uncomfortable, Craig, but I just find it very funny and humorous. And is, do you know that as of last week, we have our average of interviewing pedophiles has gone from 1 to 2?
What happened now?
Well, apparently, technically, I guess we didn't book this person for an interview. He actually called us. But former WWE prelim wrestler Steve Gatorwolf was found guilty of being a child molester last week. So we are now at 2 child molesters on the show.
Well, it's fair. That's like 2.5.
Yeah.
So.
But, when that came out, that was like a little unusual last week, and it just was like, I was just like shaking my head. It's like, only us. Right. We're the only show that,
You know what? In retrospect, I wouldn't book the guy, but Buck Zumhoff was a great interview. He was articulate. He was nice. He was well-spoken. He had great stories. And then a few years later, oh, crap, that guy,
I mean, all those older guys have been, they're really our best interviewers because they basically, they don't need us, You know what I mean? They know how to tell interesting stories, and you don't have to work. You just ask a simple question, and they'll go on, you know what I mean? And, But that was pretty screwed up. But anyway.
Great.
I guess we could go ahead and end the show already if you want to, unless you had anything else you wanted to talk about.
I really did not, to be honest with you. I didn't have a whole lot this week. Like I said, I've just been doing some stuff and haven't been able to keep up on the product this week, to be honest.
So Brian goes away for a week and you stop paying attention?
That was a blessing in disguise, but that's another story for another time.
So sorry for poor Whitney had to be stuck in a car with freaking Brian for like a whole week. That poor girl.
The best picture I saw was Brian was in the driver's seat and I was thinking, there's no way he drove because Brian never drove. He always made Vinny drive. He always made me drive. He always made Matt drive.
Yeah. Anyway. Just, I couldn't imagine driving cross country with that man. He would drive me absolutely insane.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway.
Yeah. Too bad you didn't throw him over the cliff at the Grand Canyon. That would have.
Well, there's still time, I'm sure. All right. Well, I guess we could put a pin in this, and we'll bring this up again next week. How about that, huh?
Yeah. Hey, are you planning on going to see Godzilla this week?
Planning on it. I don't know if I'll get to, but I'm planning on it for sure. I've seen all the other superhero movies, so I'm ready. I'm already caught up. I saw Spider-Man last week. I saw Captain America twice. That's such a great movie. It's like they're with the Avengers. It's so good. And
the best comic book movie is coming out next week, and I can't wait for that. That's going to be so awesome.
Yeah, X-Men.
Yeah.
I was going to go with Vinny on Friday, but they were going way up north to a theater up there, and I still hadn't gotten measured for Vinny's wedding. And it's next month, and I'm like, I should probably take care of that. Not to mention Bridget was on Vinny, and Vinny was on me. I'd be the last one to get measured. Even Brian has been measured. I don't take care of it. So I decided to do that instead of going to see Godzilla with Vinny, his buddy.
Yeah, if Brian's getting measured before you, you're like,
yeah,
you have issues. That's just horrible.
Well, in my defense, I had gotten an email, and I went down to the men's warehouse, which is, you can go to any one of them. There's one, 10 minutes up the road from me. So I go there, and I said, I need to get measured for a wedding. They said, what's your party number? And I'm like, you mean like my cell phone number? No, your party number. I have no idea what he's talking about. And I said, how about by name? Can you check it by name? Nope, need the party number. Okay, so I left, and then a month and a half goes by. Then I finally return. So, there you go.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, hopefully they'll have your tuxedo ready on time. It's not like you're the average-sized person. You know, they're going to have to make a special
arrangement. Oh, I know. That's what made me so mad, because they already have my measurements, because I go in there and I spend a lot of money at the men's warehouse. And all they already have my measurements on file. I was like, just look them up and transfer them over to the party number and we'll be fine, right? No, you have to come in and get measured. Got to be kidding. Anyway.
Well, while you're doing that, I'll be enjoying X-Men here on that day, and I can't wait for that. That's going to be awesome.
Okay. We'll try better next week. Let's end the show.
All right. Let me just find the... the last 2 minutes of the show, you sounded horrible. You sound like you're talking through a tampon or something.
Really?
Well, the last 2 minutes, I don't know, it sounds like you got the phone 5 feet away from your mouth.
Yeah. Nothing has changed, my friend. Nothing has changed.
That sounded better. But we'll go ahead and end the show. We'll be back next week, so we'll talk to everybody then.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. You want to find out how good you are? You're looking at the measuring stick. Let's go hook him up! I want to dog you until I wear your Texas ass out.
now.
And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.